I don't like the feeling of grief. I would much rather move on and think about positive things. Yet there is much to grieve. On a personal level, I'm still grieving the loss of Dr. Jean and the loss of a close friendship which suddenly changed its form a year ago. On a societal level, I grieve the inhuman treatment of immigrants in our cities and on our borders. And on the macro level, I grieve the cruelty and loss of human life in conflicts in so many places and the great extinction happening for the creatures of the world. I'm sure you can add to my list of griefs. In the first reading this morning, we heard David's grief in his eulogy for Saul and Jonathan. While David had been out battling with the Amalekites, Saul led a battle against the Philistines. The Philistines were stronger and soon had them surrounded. Saul's sons were all killed, and Saul fell upon his own sword rather than risk being captured alive. So David returns from a successful campaign to find Saul and his sons dead. Today's reading was the Song of the Bow, David's lamentation over the death of the king and his son, David's dear friend, Jonathan. In the past three decades, gay and lesbian people have created a place for themselves within Christianity by challenging prejudice and challenging the few biblical verses which can be read to say that same-gender relationships are sinful. And just as feminists have raised up the women in the scriptures, noticing, for example, that Jesus included Jairus' wife when he healed his daughter in today's gospel reading. Just as feminists have raised up the women of the Bible, so too gay and lesbian people have looked for stories of same-gender relationship which have been glossed over by heteronormative readings. The relationship between David and Jonathan is one of the two great same-gender friendships in the scriptures, the other being Ruth and Naomi. As David said at the end of the first reading, I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. David and Jonathan were not gay in the way that we understand it today. There was no culturally understood or even possible same-sex partnership in the way that has developed in our lifetimes. In fact, David had two wives who shortly before this had been abducted by an Amalekite raiding party. But hero as he was, he had chased after them and reclaimed both his wives unharmed. It is, however, quite possible that the friendship between Jonathan and David had a sexual component. This is important for gay people because it is important for all of us that we see ourselves included and reflected in the scriptures. For thousands of years, the biblical scholars and commentators in the West have been privileged men based in universities and monasteries. In recent decades, people who have been in some way marginalized by society have claimed their own place in the biblical narrative and in the continuing revelation of God's word at work in the world. Liberation theologians have raised up the oppressed people of Central and South America, noting God's particular support of the poor and the downtrodden. Feminists have drawn our attention to the importance of the often unnamed women, and queer theology has gone beyond looking for stories of same-gender friendship to question the binary understanding of two discrete genders. But let us return to David and his grief. Grief is an important part of the human experience. And as we age, there are more occasions for grief, as more loss occurs in our lives and our relationships. There are many psalms, like the one we sang today, which express the sorrow and grief that often occurs for us. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. O let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleading. Grief happens when bonds of connection are broken. We are relational people, and our bonds with others are very important to us. We also grieve when things change in which we have invested our time and our energy. For some of us, each grief builds upon a previous one until it can feel as though we are living under a cascade of sadness. That can be avoided. At some time in the grief process, we get to accept that what has gone has gone, what has changed, and we cannot bring them back. It is not disloyal to move on. We can best honor those who have gone and those parts of our lives which were once so important to us by allowing ourselves to grieve and then, when the time is right, connecting again to new hopes and new possibilities. The first verse of the next chapter after the reading we heard tells us that in the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. The Lord said, "Go up." David went to Hebron, and there was anointed king. It was in the course of time that David was ready to move on. In his grieving, there came a point when it was the right time, and so he prayed, "What now?" Even the Psalms of deepest despair never leave us there. There is always a point when the psalmist turns to God. Today we heard in Psalm 130, "My soul is longing for the Lord more than those who watch for daybreak. Let the watchers count on daybreak and Israel on the Lord." We can count on daybreak and on the Lord. And I think that is very important for us today. As we grieve for the seabirds who are dying because of plastic in the oceans, as we grieve for lost friends and loved ones, as we grieve for lost abilities and opportunities, as we grieve for the suffering caused by our own inhumanity, we can count on daybreak and the Lord. So let us not be fearful of loss. It is part of loving. It is part of living with zest and joy. It is especially difficult for older people to stop. It is easy, especially for older people, to stop forming new relationships and new connections because they take energy and they carry with them the possibility of more loss. But research has proved again and again that meaningful connections with other people keep us healthier and living longer. Relationship is important to us, however old we get, which is why we encourage each other to visit those who are not easily able to come to church to join with us. I'm very grateful for this faith community and for our ability to celebrate many different kinds of relationship and to acknowledge many different kinds of grief. Next Sunday will be the Gay Pride Day in Mission Plaza, and I hope that many of you will participate in the Episcopal booth as a witness that God's love encompasses all people and that we support healthy relationships of all kinds, even as we hold gently the awareness that joyful relationship carries the seed of grief within it. Berkeley has recently been trained in helping those who grieve not the death of a loved one, but the myriad other things that cause us grief. The end of a career, the end of a marriage, the loss of physical ability. And if you're interested in a time-limited support group around such issues, he would be glad to hear from you. Berkeley, why don't you wave your arm so we all know who you are? That's Berkeley. Thank you. Yes, there is grief. But we can count on daybreak and the Lord. Grief holds within it the seed of new joy. We are a resurrection people. At the heart of our sacred narrative is the deep grief of the death of Jesus. The death of all that seemed hopeful and joyous and possible. But out of that death, God brought a new creation. A creation which is growing in and among us. We can count on daybreak and the Lord.